Well, it's a night to be alive, that's for sure. Welcome in, Georgia fans. Here we are bringing you the Georgia Show postgame here after the Sugar Bowl, presented by Bulldog Snacks, the Georgia postgame show, presented by Bulldog Snacks, the official snack of UGA and the Classic City Collective. Celebrate the new year with 15% site-wide. Save on the cookies, the bars, the sample pack, everything. And Bulldog Snacks contributes a portion of profits to the Classic City Collective and Georgia student athletes. Rusty, let's just get into it, man. Georgia loses to Notre Dame 23-10. Dogs drop the Sugar Bowl. Playoffs are over. 2025 season is over. It's all a wrap, man. It's all over. It was not a particularly impressive performance in any stretch of the imagination. And really the thing that got him, Rusty, in my opinion, in watching that one, things you don't typically see from a Kirby Smart team. You give up a kickoff return, some undisciplined penalties. My God, that false start there, neutral zone infraction, they milked 6 minutes almost off the clock with that one. Just uncharacteristic of what we're used to seeing from this squad. Your take on what you saw tonight?
I think the first thing you got to do is credit Notre Dame. I felt like Notre Dame played as clean as game. That's exactly how Notre Dame wanted to beat Georgia. They wanted to make Georgia make the mistakes. You look, you have a strip sack right before the half. You have two turnovers, which is something you don't see Georgia do a lot. The kickoff return. I don't know the stat, Jake, but when that happened, I was like, dude, that is you almost never win a game when you give off a kickoff return. Plus, to open the second half to give that up, it just don't happen. And, you know, you have a kind of an undisciplined penalty. I will say this for the young man. And I know that young man's trending and I see all the stuff. I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of football. You usually get a sideline warning for something like that. You know what I mean? That's just something you can't have. I'm sure Kirby Smart is going to use that, but usually you get a sideline warning for something like that. That guy threw that flag, and you know that was a big play early in the game. But you know, I think you look at Notre Dame, let me give you some. Here's two things I'll show you. Notre Dame had four sacks. Georgia had one. Notre Dame had 9 tackles for loss. Georgia had 1. Notre Dame had 90 yards passing and beat Georgia by 13. That tells you what they did defensively. Here's the stat that is eye-popping for me. 29 rushes for 62 yards. I thought Georgia was going to be able to run the football. You had 2 healthy backs, and credit Notre Dame. An undersized defensive line, and they stuffed Georgia up front. And that's just something you're just not accustomed to seeing. You didn't see that last year. You haven't seen that out of a Georgia football team been unable to run the football, and that's something they've got to address. But Gunnar Stockton, man, 20 of 32 for 234 in his first start ever. I mean, I thought he played well. He had some moments that, you know, he's got to fix some things. But what you saw out of him tonight, I think Georgia can build around that. And that's a tall task, man, to play a team that good defensively, to go 20 for 32 for 234, didn't turn the ball over, and we'll see where they go with him.
Yeah, Gunnar Stockton, to me, one of the lesser concerns that you had on the night. I mean, I thought that he played well, especially – now, look, I'm not one necessarily to get out and assign blame. Georgia's offensive line just did not get it done tonight. That was one of the key things in this one. And it didn't matter who they were putting in, who they were trying to get in there. Monroe Freeling couldn't get it done. Like you said, 73 gets injured. I mean, it did not matter. The combination was not the issue. It was a system-wide issue with that offensive line. And they struggled. I said that early in the game. This game will go as the offensive line goes. That ended up being the case. Like you said, 4 sacks for Notre Dame. Felt like they were living in the backfield. Gunnar Stockton made the best of it, in my opinion. I thought he really was able to kind of salvage some of that and sort of capitalize on it. But in the end, man, it was just too much for them. And I think that that's something that going into this offseason, they're definitely going to be thinking about a lot. Rusty, Georgia struggled this season consistently in the first half. I mean, it was just that's what it was every single time. You kept relying on that second half. At some point, it was going to come back to get you. Well, tonight it ended up being the night for sure. But how do you move forward from here? Where do you go? What do you do? How do you use this game to guide what happens next?
I think everybody, no matter what side of the fence you're on offensively for Georgia, I think everybody understands you got to have playmakers, wide receiver. And it's just the inconsistency all year, just their drops, some of the things, and not being able to win one-on-ones. I will say this, that Georgia went out and signed five wide receivers in a high school class. That tells you all you need to know. They're trying to sign more wide receivers. Georgia is trying to change that room, or I would say trying to get more playmakers there. You look at the teams and you realize, you know, it's a passing league now, and you got to have guys. When Georgia had guys, you know, at wide receiver, look what those guys are doing in the NFL, you know, and you go back and look at the 21 team and those wide receivers they had, you've got to have that. And for whatever reason, Georgia really doesn't have that right now. They're trying to get it back. And I just think the overall picture of this, you got to get some playmakers at wide receiver and get more consistency there. And but you look at what you can build on there with Gunnar Stockton and some of those things. And listen, I'm not saying it's completely his job, but he has a really big leg up now that he's played a game and you've got some things to build around. And, you know, I thought the ball he threw to Arian Smith was on the freaking money. You know what I mean? The ball he hit Dylan Bell. And here's the thing about the ball he hit Dylan Bell. He had to climb the pocket and avoid the rush. So those types of things you look at, but Georgia's got to get better at wide receiver. I think they've got some really talented freshmen coming in, but there's no secret. You can look at Dogs HQ. You can look anywhere. Georgia is trying to add at least one to two portal guys right now and try to add some guys that can help them immediately.
Absolutely. And, I mean, we mentioned the offensive line. I think, what is it, 11 guys, 12 guys in the last two classes? I mean, seven guys in the previous year. You go out and you add the big size. You're looking for tackles everywhere you can find them. I mean, you go get a guy like Josh Jackson, who just is raw as all get out, but has all this physical talent, all this upside. It did appear, based on what they've done over the last two classes, that Georgia understands where its deficiencies are. This is not a situation where these guys are just trying to triage, you know, and throw three guys out there in a recruiting class. Mm-hmm. I think when you look back on those numbers, it becomes kind of clear that those are the things that they were themselves aware were affecting them in a large way.
Yeah, you know, you look at 21 and 22 and those wide receivers, even the guys that left, and you can have your opinion on Jermaine Burton and all those guys, but they're NFL guys. A.D. Mitchell, an NFL guy, much less Ladd McConkey and everybody else. So they just got, it's some of that to, for have immediate help offensively and not have to drive the field 70 and 80 yards of manufactured points. You got to have it there. But I think the thing that really surprised me here, the play offensive line, they were beat up too, man. They were beat up all year and trying to plug people in places there. They've recruited at high levels. And certainly, you know, if you follow the next guy in, you look at Juan Gaston, who was 6'8", 388 pounds, who just had a dominant week at the Under Armour All-American game. And you look at the recent success of Georgia and young kids playing, you know, so Andrew Thomas comes in, Broderick Jones, all these kids from the state of Georgia, those kids played early. So you look at somebody like that, can he get in there? Got to figure out left tackle. That's the position they got to figure out. Because Monroe Freeland had been shocked. The answer. He had been the answer until tonight.
That's what threw me. I could not agree with you more. Mm-hmm. Going into this, I thought, okay, well, at least they've got that settled. He had really been a revelation since he came on and really sort of reworked the face of that offensive line. And tonight, man, he was just getting worked. I mean, there's no other way to say it. And against an undersized line, they had a great scheme to deal with Monroe Freeland, man. They came at him in a way that nobody really had and won consistently.
Yeah, they got after him a little bit. And, that's one game, and that's not – you don't write him off because you have three or four games. I thought Georgia was different when they moved Monroe. About two drives into the Ole Miss game, they moved Monroe Freeling – or about second half, they moved Monroe Freeling into left tackle. And he answered a lot of questions for Georgia the rest of the year. So we'll see where they go. You talk about Josh Jackson. This is an athlete that we hear a ton of buzz about. look, this guy's 6'10". You know, wherever he is, 6'9", he's the biggest player, and he's athletic. He's a basketball kid. It created some buzz. But again, you know, I think there's going to be a long time to answer all these questions. I think you got to credit Notre Dame for what they did tonight. I think if you told Georgia they were going to have 294 yards of offense and Gunner was going to be 20 for 32 with no turnovers, I think you think Georgia's going to win that football game, but you cannot make those many mistakes. And that's just something you do not see out of Georgia. That last play on that punt, you credit Coach Freeman on that, because that was a design play. And Georgia, look, what has Jalen Walker done for Georgia? He is the leader. He's the leader of the team.
When He's I a great saw dude. That happen, I posted on the board. I said, when that's happening to Jalen Walker,
yes.
you just know it ain't your night, yes. man. Because he has done, he has been Johnny on the spot with everything. Yeah. He is the emotional leader. He's the vocal leader. He's played his absolute ass off this season and just has been a difference maker for you. And he gets got on that one. And it happens, man. I mean, it does. Yeah. But when it happens to a guy like that on a night like this, you say, yeah, you know, makes sense. Of course. Why not?
Well, you know, you look at the week Georgia's had, and both teams had a week like that. Obviously, you throw in, you know, some of the off the field stuff that Kirby Smart's had to deal with. You know, his father, you know, had surgery down there, and just, you know, dealing with some of those things too. So, there's been a lot on this Georgia team. This has been, Jake, I think you said it best. I don't know this team was going to win it. I didn't think this team was going to win it. I didn't know how far they could go. And it's interesting.
I thought they could win this one. I did.
I didn't thought they could win. I still think they're every bit as good, or if not better. They didn't do it. No, because you got to credit Notre Dame.
100%.
I don't think they played very well tonight. Here's the thing we're all learning, Jake, is, and this is the first year of this, do you want the bye, or do you want to stay, keep going? And, you know what I mean? Because the bye teams didn't perform well. So those are all things you learn. You know, Georgia, don't discredit. They won the SEC championship, and it's still a hell of a league. And but right now, you know, Georgia, this wasn't the team I felt like could win it all. And then you lose Carson Beck and those types of things. So you look at this, and 11-3, where Georgia is now, that's a disappointing year. It just is. And they're going to, you know, I can tell you this, that's not going to sit well with Kirby Smart. It's not going to sit well with the guys coming back, and they'll get after it pretty quickly. But tonight, you give all the credit in the world to Notre Dame, because they played a very clean game, and they did. That was exactly how they wanted that football game to unfold. Let's make Georgia make some mistakes. I bet you they thought, let's get Gunner Stockton into those mistakes. Let's let Gunner Stockton throw two interceptions. Well, you know what? He didn't. He protected the football. He got a strip sack, and they gave up, you know, a couple fumbles, and they gave up a kick return. You just cannot do that against a really good football team.
I'm going to I don't want to get in a lot of back and forth here, but Don Yoda says Gunner had a turnover. He's slow on the release. Quit making excuses. I got to tell you, man, I think that a lot of what was going on with Gunner Stockton tonight was he had guys in his face quick.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that turnover, man, that guy was on top of him. And I mean, he was – look, there were times where I did feel like he held on to the ball a little longer than he should have. Mm-hmm. And to some degree, I credited that to the idea that, like, he looked maybe a little more comfortable than I would have expected a guy in his situation to look. Yeah. But maybe to his detriment almost.
Yeah, yeah. And somebody made a comment, I think, like, you win the SEC championship, disappoint. Yeah, I'm not saying this team is disappointing. I'm just saying the goal is to win the national championship at Georgia. That's what they've created. You want to win the SEC championship, and then you want to win the national championship. So I know those guys in that locker room, and I know those coaches. That's not the way they wanted to finish tonight. So credit to the way this team is built, way this program is built. This program is to play January the 20th in Atlanta. Now there will be two other teams playing in Atlanta, and Mercedes-Benz is not going to be Georgia. So that is the standard now at Georgia under Kirby Smart, and credit them, man, for what they have built. So, you know, just kind of take it there.
This is the end of the season. 2025 draws to a close. What now? Where does it go from here? Where do the dogs kind of move in this point?
Well, the classes start on the 6th. So if you're about to get into the portal for Georgia, and then they're going to lose players, there are going to be some players getting a portal in the next 24 hours. You know, what players are going to leave the program, and what players are they going to bring in? Because classes start on the 6th. You go through drop add a couple of days. You know, Georgia's going to have some movement here in the next 2 to 3 days with some players. And And we'll see how that goes and who's coming and who's going. But they've got to make some additions. You know, I've made a note this morning about a running back name, another wide receiver name we feel like. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes. But there's going to be some action. There's going to be some action. It wouldn't surprise me in the next 24 hours, you know, to see the kids that were finishing out the season the right way and finishing out for Georgia. But naturally, they're going to lose some players and they're going to add some players, and it's going to happen pretty quick. I would say over the next 4 to 5 days, they're going to add some and have some. They're going to add some and have some leave.
Yeah, no question. That's kind of the big thing coming down the pipe. From a personnel standpoint, from a staff standpoint, look, go read the board. I think you can understand what people think about all of that. Yeah. I do think, Rusty, regardless of changes or not, who knows at this point where we'll see anything of that nature. And I don't want to speculate on that. But I do think, given how the season went and how this game kind of played itself out, a little bit of a microcosm of the season in this one, to some degree. I know there were some extenuating factors that weren't necessarily in some of these games. But there has to be some reflection, I think, over the course of this offseason. I mean, like you said, this isn't how these people wanted it to end. This isn't the standard is. But also, too, the deficiencies are what the deficiencies are. And so they've got to sit back, I think, and self-evaluate in a lot of big ways and in a lot of big positions, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is just listen. Sometimes you give too much credit for coaches. Sometimes you don't. But it's still Jimmy's and Joe's, man. And you got to have them at every position. And I think everybody is kind of aware now of the parity and depth. Everybody has players, and you know you can, you know, you go out and look. You know who's got the number one portal class? I think in America is Texas Tech. Texas Tech is spending money. Like, pray, they are definitely trying to buy a playoff team, and that's the way it is. Texas Tech is beating, you know, power. They're beating SEC and ACC kids for players. So Georgia certainly just signed one of the best recruiting classes in the country. They got one of the best rosters in the country. What additions can they make? Because it is Jimmy's and Joe's at times, especially at wide receiver. I think that's the spot. And I do listen. I do think they brought in one of the best wide receiver groups. In America of anybody. Now, you're going to depend on freshmen. You don't want to, but some of those guys are going to play immediately. And then you start talking about these tight ends they're adding to the class too. So you got to get some guys offensively. I think defensively, you know, if you're looking, you want to get a little more depth, the defensive line. There's some big decisions, man. Ty Ingram, I think the biggest decision for me is Ty Ingram, Dawkins, and Christian Miller.
Sure.
What do those guys do at Georgia? You know, they're coming back, leaving. That's going to be those guys up front, you know, a lot of experience coming back. If those two guys come, and we'll see what happens in the next. That's another thing to talk about. What guys come back from NFL potential? You know what I mean? Malachi Starks is going to be gone. Michael Williams is going to be gone. Jalen Walker, he's going to be gone. Those guys are all first rounders. So, you know, you tip your cap and tell those guys thank you for everything they did at Georgia and winning a national championship against TCU on that first team. So, you know, those guys came in and backed up those stars, and they're going to be first rounders. And they've done a lot of stuff right at University of Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I think, you know, you mentioned it in some of the pregame notes, and I think that it was a very salient point. And I think that we actually got the result that they'd hoped for. That there were a lot of these transfer guys, a lot of these portal guys out here, and probably even some of these young guys in the 2025 class going to be watching Gunnar Stockton very closely. And how does that go? And how does Georgia negatively? Okay, no, this is a running quarterback. They're not going to be passing anymore.
Yes.
I think that they answered those questions in a big way tonight. I think Gunnar Stockton did himself and this Georgia team a lot of favors with that performance.
Yeah, they I made a post on the board. There was a lot of people watching Gunnar Stockton play tonight. A lot of portal guys watching Gunnar Stockton play tonight. So that I don't think he did anything to hurt himself. I don't think he did anything to hurt Georgia. He threw the ball 34 times. I think he threw it around. He took some deep shots. I thought his deep ball. Listen, when they hit Aaron Smith on a deep ball like that, Aaron Smith caught it. I was like, man, they're winning tonight. That ball was on the money. Well, Aaron caught it, and then. Lo and behold, they get a penalty on that ball. I mean, it's just like your jeans there. You know what I mean? But I thought Gunnar had some good plays tonight. And I think that you see what they can do around him. And listen, Georgia has seen him in practice. They've seen him play 25 plays against Texas, but you don't really know. You know what I mean? We didn't know. I've covered him since he was a ninth grade. I know who he is, how he's wired, but you don't really know till you see him in something like this. But tonight, I think you see what Georgia can build on there. I think wide receivers can see that too, that he's going to throw it around, got a great arm. And I think it, the more they have there offensively, the more they can attack the perimeter with him and some of those younger. Because Notre Dame, man, Notre Dame was man-to-man on Georgia, and they were 8 in a freaking box on defense. For Georgia to get almost 300 yards offense facing an 8-man box, what did they have? They were Georgia had more first downs. Georgia averaged more yards per play. They almost won the time of possession. Again, 4 sacks, 9 tackles for loss, and 2 turnovers. You can't win that way, not tonight against a good team like that.
Yeah, you can't win with 62 rushing yards either on the evening. A long of
28. Frazier.
I mean, if Frazier doesn't get the 28, he's got like 19 yards. Trevor Etienne finished with like 38. That forced Gunner into those situations too. And like I said, there's some people over here saying, "Oh, he's not elite." I'm not arguing that he's elite. I'm not saying that Gunnar Stockton is the be-all, end-all quarterback. What I'm saying is Notre Dame knew that they had you gunned down in the running game, and they put it all on the shoulders of that kid. And by and large, he didn't do too bad of a job, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is the first start kid's ever had. You know what I mean? So I've seen a lot worse first starts. You know what I mean? So we'll see. We've got a long offseason. Again, I don't think it's completely over. I think Ryan Puglisi, Jaden Rashada, all these guys are going to have a say into this. You know, they're going to go into spring practice. But Gunner's certainly with a leg up now that you have tape. This kid played one half against Texas and 4 quarters against freaking Notre Dame. You know what I mean? In the SEC championship and the playoff quarterfinals. So we'll see what they do with him and what they get around him. I don't want to just anoint him as the 100% the guy, but you got to have more confidence now going into the offseason for Kirby Smart, and knowing, hey, we can build this around him. We can do this because you got a brutal schedule again. But a lot of those games are at home this time next year. Alabama coming to town, Texas coming to town, Ole Miss is coming to town, those types of things.
Absolutely. Guys, get over to BulldogSnacks.com. Check them out. Celebrate the new year with 15% off site-wide. Save on the cookies, the bars, the sample pack, everything. And Bulldog Snacks will contribute a portion of sales to the Classic City Collective. And that goes straight to Georgia student-athletes. So, hey, look, if you don't like Georgia's talent, an easy way to help them get some more is to go out to Bulldog Snacks. That's what I would say. Rusty, final thoughts on it tonight, buddy. Anything to say, this game that you don't feel like we covered, this season as a whole, it just wasn't to be, in my opinion. Yep. That's how I look at it. There were so many bumps along the way. It would have been shocking had Georgia been able to put – it would have been a miracle run, to be honest with you.
Yes.
If they had been able to go take this thing to the championship. You could not tell me, looking at that Oregon-Ohio State game, that Georgia is going to be able to hang with that version of Ohio State, or possibly even that version of Oregon. But
Ohio State to me. I mean, Ohio State got everybody back. They got all their draft eligible guys just about to come back. Then they go out and add Caleb Downs, and they go out and add. You know, I don't think Will Howard is somebody that scares you to death, but everybody they got. I mean, I think I saw last night. I think Ohio State has 15 starters of the 22 have played 47 games or more. That's insane. Then you add the best freshman wide receiver that I've ever covered.
Yeah.
And that's super freak. I mean, that dude's Julio Jones. I'm telling you, he's a once in a 10, 12 year player. You add him into that mix. So the whole year, I kind of felt like, what is going on with Ohio State? And boy, they're clicking right now. So they're going to be a tough out for anybody. We'll see where it goes. With that, I know Notre Dame is banged up defensive line now, had another guy go down late. So I don't really know. I'm telling you, Penn State is going to be tough for my opinion, for Notre Dame. But you look at Georgia, and the one thing when you go back and look at this team, man, they just kept fighting. They won some games. That Georgia Tech game, they came back and won, coming back and beating Texas twice, who's another semifinal team. They won out there. beating Tennessee the way you did and finishing that game off. So you go back and look at this team in their second half, how this team always battled. They almost did it tonight. You know what I mean? They were a couple breaks here and there from getting right back. I felt like up until that punt, Georgia still had a really good opportunity there to get in this game, because I didn't feel like that Notre Dame really, minus that kick return, did too much to scare you offensively. And
this was a game of what I felt personally was pretty evenly matched. It came down to three or four key things, key plays, like one or two plays that really ended up separating it. But I mean, for all intents and purposes, Georgia was in there with them battling. It wasn't like I didn't feel like they were getting boat raced off the field. Now the score says different. I mean, the score
has
a wallop, and I'm not saying that Georgia, you know, that's a moral victory, certainly. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like I said, uncharacteristic of a Kirby Smart team. I think that there's a lot for them to go back to the drawing board on after this season. Quite frankly, I think a lot of people out there are probably glad that this season has come to an end.
It's still fun. I'll miss the daylights out of it. You know, it's what we love to do. But man, this team was all. It was. You never know what team you're getting every week. They would find a way. They would find a way to. Other than Ole Miss, they, you know, in that first half, Alabama, that should have been the biggest indication. Georgia's down 28 points almost in the first quarter of Alabama, almost come back and beat Alabama. They didn't give up a 75-yard touchdown. That's kind of the way this season's been. And a lot of good players, man. You look at the guys like Tate Ratledge, who's a lot of these guys that are played for Georgia for a long time. Look at Xavier Trust, you know, a six-year guy. He won two national championships leaving the program. Tate Ratledge won two national championships. All of those guys, you know, this is not the way they wanted it to end, but when they go back and look at their career, Those are damn good dogs. A lot of those guys has played for a long time. A lot of big decisions. Look at Dan Jackson. What a year Dan Jackson had. Freaking walk on, man. So the future, a lot of good players, a lot of good young kids, but they've got to plug some pieces in. And I think for Georgia, they've got to get the wide receiver room to where it needs to be to see what this team can do offensively. Because I mean, you look at last year, the same coaches, same coaching staff, basically, and they had some Jimmys and Joes, and I think it was the all-time, the most points and most yards ever by a team in Georgia history. So let's get some Jimmys and Joes, see what they can do in the offseason, see how this thing goes, and see if they can build this thing around Gunnar Stockton.
Absolutely, guys. Look, season's over. We appreciate you being with Dogs HQ for it. And look, if you're not over at Dogs HQ, get over and hang out with us, man. We've got a ton more coming. Look, the season may be over, but now the 2025 season begins tonight.
Here it comes, man.
The waves are coming. The recruiting's going to be fired up. We got Under Armour camp coming soon. I know that's coming down the pipe. I mean, we've got it all covered for you over at Dogs HQ. Get over, check us out. Come hang with us on the message board. Look, you want to come vent over in the side here? Come over and let us have it over on the message board, buddy. There are a lot of people feeling the same way you are as on the Dog Walk message board. Guys, we appreciate you tuning in for the Georgia Show throughout this whole season. We'll be back with you, of course.
We're not going anywhere.
But yeah. Georgia, the game is over. The season is over. But Dogs HQ just getting started on 2025. We'll talk to you guys again very, very soon. Have a great evening.